This is Bucky McCall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Today I have a question submitted by a listener in MP3 format, my favorite kind of response. And just to let you know how easy it is, I was told this one was recorded on one of those iPod doohickeys with a record function. She had to work with a time limit because they didn't have a lot of memory, but I think it sounds great. I encourage other listeners to follow Laura's example.
Hi, Bucky McCall. This is Laura from Tallahassee, Florida, and I have a question for you. I lived in Brazil for 3 months, and they had chickens on their farm, and they said, caw-caw-de-caw. And when I said that to them, the chickens, which were about maybe 50, they said, caw-caw-de-caw, all in unison. And I don't know if this is just this group of chickens or all chickens in general. So I was wondering if they all respond in unison.
I sure wish you had an MP3 of that, Laura from Tallahassee. And if any listeners have MP3s of unusual, unexpected, dramatic, or noteworthy chicken vocalizations, please send them in so I can share it with our little community of chickeners on the radio. Now, Laura, is it normal? Well, yes and no. I've never heard such a thing personally, but I'm not surprised to hear about it. I do think it's rather appropriate that you've had that experience in Brazil, which some people argue is the most musical nation on the planet. It's been said that chickens do often follow the example of their keepers, or people who live nearby, even pick up the qualities of the human culture in which they're raised. For instance, one of my favorite authors, Ruth Ozeki, keeps and breeds silky chickens, the adorable, white, fluffy kind, with her artist husband, and once commented on her website that she traded some chickens with a more traditional farmer, who later told her that the Ozeki-bred chickens tended to sleep in late and stay up past dawn, as compared to the flocks he raised, who kept more traditional chicken hours. The Silkies even pass their late-night tendencies on to their children. If hens can learn to keep artists' hours, then it stands to reason that Brazilian chickens might be exceptionally musical. I'm also guessing that the chorus effect you heard could be more likely for flocks as large as 50 to 100, than for micro flocks of 3 or 4. For one, perceptual reason, in a large flock that is more or less close to unison, a stray cluck here and there would be buried by those that are in sync, kind of like how an amateur children's chorus tends to sound pretty much in tune and rhythm. All chickens are by nature social. This is one of the reasons everyone who can should have chickens, because on the one hand, they make great companions if you choose to be very interactive with them. But on the other, as long as they live with other chickens, they're not so codependent on you for their happiness as indoor mammal pets such as cats, dogs, or ferrets. Studies show chickens can recognize up to 100 other individual chickens by sight. Anecdotal evidence is their recognition abilities are not species-specific. In other words, they can recognize and distinguish between specific humans, goats, horses, cats, dogs, or ferrets, and other critters. Furthermore, flocks the size you describe tend to be much more hierarchical than micro flocks. Chickens like things to be orderly, and they like to follow a chicken leader. With 3 or 4 chickens, the rules can be pretty loose. And over the 100 mark, where chickens can't recognize one another, chaos tends to emerge, because no one can remember who to follow or who to lead. But at 50 to 100, flocks tend to do everything together, including vocalizing. Chickens, like all birds, are very vocal. Chicken observers commonly note distinct sounds for sharing food, alerting to danger, competing for resources, bragging about laying an egg, and other situations. Hens vocalize differently to chicks than they do to other hens, or to roosters. I've long wanted to do a show on chicken vocalizations, but have discovered it's pretty difficult to record chickens. They seem to be mic shy. The chicken chorus you describe makes perfect sense to me. It also fits in with my limited, small flock experience. For instance, I briefly had a rooster in my backyard. He's the mascot of the show, a gorgeous black Polish. I once did a vanity search for my own name, Bucky McCaw, and saw a blog that posted a photo of the gorgeous cock, downloaded from my website, but incorrectly naming him as Bucky McCaw. His name is Wojciech. He was raised from early chickhood in my backyard, but I had to find him a new home because roosters are forbidden in the city of Boise. For a brief period, though, I had an adolescent rooster learning how to crow in my urban backyard, My neighbors all claimed to think it was cute, and I know I could have lived with it, but one complaint would have stopped the whole experiment. So I decided to preemptively find him a new home, rather than scramble after getting in trouble. At first, I experimented with ways of discouraging from crowing. I looked up stuff on websites and tried all of them, making sure his coop was cloaked from all stray light in order to keep him sleeping until a decent hour. He sensed it was morning anyway. Keeping him in a box too short for him to wind up for the crow with his neck. That seemed inhumane and wasn't effective anyway. I even considered applying Vaseline to his rear end, but decided the person who posted to the bulletin board that said roosters have to clench their cloaca to produce sounds was just trying to trick the naive, I guess like me, into doing silly stuff. I was even holding my credit card in my hand, ready to send the number to some guy who promised online to give me his secret fail-safe method of preventing crowing for $20. But I thought better of that as well. Quieting Wojciech wasn't successful, but once I realized we had a new home lined up, I started to actually encourage him. "Who's a rooster? Who's a rooster? Who's a rooster?" I'd say, and he'd crow back at me, excitedly. I tried saying other things, and they didn't get as consistent a response. "Who's a rooster?" worked every time. I was addicted to this game, especially since he was a novice crower, and still sometimes sounded like a tired drunk blowing into a party favor. So I know call and response is common in chickens. Nor is it limited to roosters. One of the original Bacaw flock is named after a grain popular in health food stores, which can either be pronounced quinoa or quinoa. Whenever I would say quinoa, she'd respond, caw! Not to make this show even more free-associating, but I thought I'd mention that quinoa is related to other plants in the goosefoot family. Goosefoot is a weedy plant, which I have often recommended as feed for chickens, but which I also personally like to eat, especially in spring. One variety of goosefoot is in fact known as fat hen, and was grown and domesticated in North America around 1700 BC, before maize took over its chart position. One of the reasons it's not suitable for large-scale agriculture is that when grown in heavily fertilized fields, it can accumulate dangerously high concentrations of nitrates. I've actually seen the greens in fancy New York City green markets and swanky chain stores, at the same time that it's one of the most common weeds, second only to mugwort, in my local Astoria Park. So chickens do all kinds of interesting things acoustically, and I would say are right up there with songbirds as inspiration to the poetically minded. Indeed, a popular unverified anecdote, or maybe it's an urban legend, is that the novelty hit of a bunch of phony chickens singing Glenn Miller's In the Mood was inspired when Ray Stevens was hanging out behind the hen house, partaking of illegal herbs that grew liberally due to the chicken poop fertilized soil there, when he heard a pickup chorus, much like the ones you describe, indicating, once again, that chickens are infinitely productive and infinitely interesting. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.